Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and today we speak with Anthony Miranda, the chairman of the California Nation's Indian Gaming Association, about the recent gaming referendums approved in his state. The Western Indian Gaming Conference convened in Palm Springs last week, just days after California voters approved four compacts that allow the tribes in the southern part of the state to install up to 7,500 slot machines each. But opposition from two tribes during the bitter campaign has left its mark. Miranda explains how the day was won and why he's urging unity at this crucial period in the history of Indian gaming in California. He spoke with me during a break at the conference in Palm Springs last week. Anthony Miranda, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to finally get together with you here at the CNIA conference, growing every year, and it looks like it's doing it again, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, just like the industry is growing, Roger, so is our conference. Mm-hmm. You're seeing California industry has grown to $7 billion.
Right.
And probably with the last propositions,
we might
even be nearing $10 billion. Real quick here. Yeah. But what that means is that tribal government gaming is an economic engine, mm-hmm, for the state of California.
Right, right, no question. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the election that just concluded. It was a very difficult election. You guys had actually, the four tribes that were impacted had actually gone through the negotiation process. They had gone through the approval process, not only by the governor, but the legislature. The BIA approved it, and then you have to face this referendum that was passed by some of the opponents of those referendums or of those compacts. How difficult was that to get through?
Well, you know, certainly for those tribes, it was a hard-fought campaign. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as the association and as the chairman of the association of CNIGA, we felt that we had to support those tribes in their battle, mm-hmm, because it was an erosion or an intrusion of tribal sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Certainly you had deals that were already negotiated between the tribes, and then you had these third parties trying to unwind the negotiation process between two sovereigns. And tribes recognized that. We recognized that we had to support those tribes in their battle, and as association we did, and knock on wood, we were able to defeat the opponents.
Mm-hmm. It was very costly, though. I mean, $100 million, is that what we've heard?
I hear that's the number that's being, mm-hmm, bandied about. Yes.
Well, that was money well spent to get it passed, but money that didn't have to be spent. Especially the part that a lot of the tribes were really upset about was that two tribes were joined the opposition. Why were they opposing it, and you know, is that going to cause some really rifts in the association?
Well, the tribes that were actually opposed to it were not part of our association.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm,
I don't think it's going to cause too big of a divide within, mm-hmm, the association. But in terms of why they opposed it, you'll have to, you know, talk to those tribes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure as tribal governments, they felt that they were doing their best that they had to for their constituents.
Sure, absolutely. You talked about unity quite a bit in your opening address at the general session this morning. Is this kind of a turning point in California gaming right now, that there seems to be much more of a cohesiveness amongst the tribes and certainly maybe with the state?
Yeah, I think so. I think what you've seen is, you know, certainly in Prop 5 and Prop 1A, you know, tribes were more unified. And we kind of drifted away. We, mm-hmm, went and built our businesses and expanded and so forth. But as you can see, when you saw an attack, mm-hmm, on tribal sovereignty, the tribes did actually come together. And I think we're realizing that the more we stick together, the better off we'll be in the long run.
Mm-hmm. No question. One of the problems with the tribal sovereignty issue is that the state wants to come in and regulate. Now, your organization has gotten together and negotiated with the state in terms of how the tribes are regulated, and a kind of a partnership between the California Indian Gaming Commission and the tribal regulators. How has that been worked out?
Well, certainly you have the State Association of Regulators, mm-hmm, that through the 99 compacts, you know, the tribes are a part of. And I think you've seen, certainly with the chairman of the California Gambling Control Commission, mm-hmm, you've actually seen a greater cooperation model mm-hmm. between the commission and the tribes, and hopefully that'll continue.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the sovereignty, I mean, everybody says, "Oh, the Indian gaming isn't regulated," but of course, you know, it's your businesses. You have much more of an interest in it than the state does. So,
oh yeah.
And so the regulatory systems you put in place are really sufficient, don't you believe?
Yeah, I think they can mm-hmm. be far superior too.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of regulation, we have three layers of regulation that we have to abide by.
Mm-hmm.
The primacy of regulation falls to the tribal facilities, mm-hmm. and you know we're putting in multi-million-dollar surveillance systems, mm-hmm. training our agents, training our compliance agents, tracking Title 31, you know, large currency transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing all of that. Then we have to abide by the federal regulations,
mm-hmm.
and then we also have to work in conjunction with the state regulations, state regulators,
mm-hmm.
the Gambling Control Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that, and we're cooperating. And I think you see a far better product for the customer in the end, in terms of security, safety, and knowing that regulatory issues and regulations are in place.
Mm-hmm. No question. Some of the tribes in Southern California, I think it was four of them, have recently reached an agreement with the National Indian Gaming Commission to set minimum internal control standards, which is has been challenged by some of the tribes in Colorado, I believe, and they actually won that case. Why did you go back to the commission and agree with them on these standards?
Well, I think the standards are already out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tribes have worked long and hard
right.
on developing those minimum internal control standards. So those are already out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Colorado River Indian decision really was basically a decision that said, hey, this defines the NIGC's role
mm-hmm.
within IGRA and how they deal with the tribes.
Right.
Deal with the tribes. So the mix are already out there,
right.
and tribes on a national basis are complying with the mix.
Mm-hmm. So they have no problem with the mix because they actually help write them.
Right. Yeah.
So it's really just the authority of the NIGC that the Colorado Indian tribes were questioning.
Correct.
Okay. I understand now. Again, the commission has come in with some proposed Class 2 standards mm-hmm. for the Class 2 machines, and there's been a lot of opposition to that. The NIGC claims they've worked with a lot of the tribes to establish those standards, but we see, you know, I would say most of the tribes have opposed them. Where does that stand with your organization right now?
Well, with our organization, we're closely watching that, and certainly as a chairman, I certainly agree that we need to have technical standards of the game, and we need to have regulations on the game. We need to have a mix for the game. I do not, and there was a working group that was working with the commission
mm-hmm.
to develop those. I do not believe that the game's definition and classification that the NIGC came up with can help bring about a viable system
mm-hmm.
for the tribes to play. So in that respect, we are opposed to them coming up. Basically, they're redefining the game of bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, Class 2 is defined in the Act that we can have bingo and we can have technological aids to bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing, and
right.
that's what we're implementing.
It has been such a gray area in terms of the divide between Class 2 and Class 3, and do you support, you know, actually drawing the bright line, as Chairman Hogan says, between Class 2 and Class 3?
I already think there is already a bright line.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look at revenues in terms of what a Class 2 game generates
mm-hmm.
versus a Class 3, there is a marked difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to a slot player that is familiar with the Class 3 game, and when they go to play a Class 2 game, they understand the difference. So I don't think that the player is as ignorant
mm-hmm.
as, you know, the NIGC is making the player out to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you in support of what the NIGC is doing now in terms of how it wants to regulate Class 3, or do you think they just don't have any authority to regulate Class 3 under IGRA?
Well, under IGRA, you know, that's already been settled.
Right.
You know, with the Colorado mm-hmm. River Indian tribes. So that Class 3 issue, the Act needs to be amended to give more authority to the NIGC for that. Mm-hmm. But certainly you already have the compacting process that tribes have to enter into with the states actually defines the regulatory issues.
Sure.
So how much more authority do they need?
Yeah, no question. And you mentioned the compacting authority. The BIA came out with a decision last month, which really put the kibosh on the off-reservation gaming to a large extent. They introduced a term called commutability, which I think a lot of people have questions. What does that mean? And how arbitrary were they with applying that term? Where does your organization stand with that? I know there's some California tribes that are landless and need to do off-reservation gaming.
Yeah. Well. Certainly there's a process for that defined in IGRA and defined in Section 51, two of the Interior. We have tribes on both sides of the aisle within the association. The regulations that the BIA came out with, my own personal opinion is they had developed these years ago and were applying them without actually telling the tribes. I do think as an association we haven't taken up this issue. We certainly take a look at it, and I think so long as there's a process defined, that we'll be in support of the process one way or the other. The new word commutability, what is it?
Commutability.
Right. Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
Right.
I mean, really, that's kind of coming out from left field. So and we'll have to see where that.
Right. Where does the circle draw? Is it 500 miles? Is it 100 miles? I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody knows that.
I know.
Well, I know you're a man in demand here, so I want to just ask one last question.
Sure.
The negotiating process between Governor Schwarzenegger and the tribes seems to have been relatively above board, relatively in good faith, which is what IGRA, of course, says. Do you think this has really started a new era for California Indian gaming in terms of how the tribes now will negotiate further compacts and continue to grow their businesses?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we're seeing a more respect from the governor to the tribes, in a respectful manner into the negotiations. And I think CNIG has had a large part in that. As an association, when I first came on board, the governor refused to meet with tribes.
Right.
And we kept calling for him to come to our tribal meeting. We kept calling for him to meet with the tribes. We pushed on for over a year. Asking him and persevering, and he finally did. And once that happened, you sort of saw the dam break, and he started talking with tribes and negotiating, negotiating compacts. So hopefully you're going to see a new era. You're going to see an expansion of gaming within the state. I think that's good for the tribes. I think it's good for the state of California, keep the money here, and it's good for our economy.
And the people of California have now backed the tribes, four or five times in a row now. So they are a part of the partners as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Anthony Miranda, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast, and congratulations again on another successful show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.